Hello and welcome everybody to a actually very special episode of our podcast, 1,000 Years of Beer. A warm welcome from me, Matthias, and my beloved colleague, our online manager, online media manager, Anton.
The love is almost real.
Don't make me break you two up.
It's still online marketing manager.
Yeah, online marketing manager.
Yeah, we've been doing this for quite some time now, and he's never gotten to learn it. So
no,
I got my hopes up.
I never will.
Got my hopes up, and I got him shattered every time. So
visualize the hearts floating in the air.
Yeah,
these two.
But as you heard, we have again a guest, and actually this is a English only episode, so there will be no German episode to that, because we have a English speaking guest here. A very special guest, actually. So this is a episode like kind of inside Weinsteffen USA, because the Weinsteffen USA market or country manager, Tim Lynch, is our guest here. And he visits the brewery for meetings, education, and drinking beer. And
not necessarily in any order.
Yeah, that's right. But hey, so cool that you took the time, and welcome, Tim. Welcome to our museum and to our podcast.
So excited to be back. I'm so excited to be part of your madness.
Yeah, so you're one of our country-specific episodes that we are doing now here in season two, or starting in season two with this country-specific episode.
Huh?
You're in season two, yeah. You weren't famous enough for season one, but season two works out for you.
Wow. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you should get a tattoo with that. I'm good enough for season two.
I was here.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself to all of our listeners out there.
So my name is Tim Lynch.
Timothy.
Officially, if you need it for record standpoint, yes. I live in California, just north of Los Angeles by 31 miles, so that's 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending. What else? I'm 52 years old, so I'm a dinosaur in the beer business in the United States, but you know, dinosaurs are still alive and doing well. What else? I've worked for our importer of Weinsteffen for 15 years now, if you will. I've been selling this brand for 15 years, since July of 2006. And great importer, Total Beverage Solution, based out of South Carolina, and they have representatives all over the country, and I help work with them in getting the word out and spreading the gospel according to Weinsteffen.
Nice set, you know, with the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's nice touch, yeah. Hmm. But you're actually not a California dude.
So I'm originally from Ohio. Northeastern Ohio.
Midwestern country boy.
Little Midwestern yahoo in my accent that you might pick up. But, yes, and then I moved out to California in 1992. I saw so many.
Oh, so long ago. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, so more years in California, so I should be a Californian by now.
You know, when you moved to California, I was like 6 months old.
Still a thought. Oh, no, you were actually past a thought.
Yeah. But it's a little bit similar to me. I'm actually next year, I will living as long in Bavaria as I lived before in Austria. So there's this special point. You got it already, and I will reach it
you're
soon.
Officially when Bavarian now?
I guess it's. I hope so, or a little bit, at least a little bit.
Yeah, he drinks like a Bavarian. That's enough. That's
good enough. But you already told that you're working now for July 2006. Very specific, by the way.
Yes.
For July TBS and now directly for us, but
so as of January 2019, so
January 2019,
our boss Marcus and I created this position
The Wine Stefan US manager.
Yeah.
Marcus is this great guy in creating cool positions for cool dudes, like making an international brand ambassador or online marketing manager. There, he also had his fingers in that a little bit, I guess. Or Wine Stefan US manager. I guess shout out to Marcus. I guess we are three guys here doing a podcast that are pretty okay with that, what he's doing.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, agree.
Tell us how you came into the beer business.
So I knew the wrong person. I took a wrong turn. And 18 years later, here I am. I was in a different industry doing background music and sound systems. And one of my customers.
Really?
Yeah, swear to God.
And now you're sitting in a podcast.
Like satellite music services into retail stores to affect people's emotional state when they're in these businesses, right? And then you design the sound systems to help create that mood. Anyway, one of my customers I became good friends with, like you do, and he was like, what's your thoughts on starting a beer distribution business? And I didn't know any better. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And so we tried to start a beer distribution business. He had a trucking company in Southern California where he already had trucks going in all different retail stores, bars, restaurants. So he said, now we just need to find some beer brands to go out and sell to these places. So he was from Pittsburgh. I'm a Steelers fan. I grew up an hour and a half from Pittsburgh. So we had that mutual love affair going. And apologize to anybody non-Steeler fans out there, but that's okay. I like you still. I still like you.
Go Rams. But, all right, go on.
A default locale near me. But anyway, we tried doing a beer distribution business. Didn't go well. So then I had to grow up and get a real job, and that's where I found work with Total Beverage Solution, working for them as their West Coast manager. And I was one of the first three employees that they had. And here I am again, still now telling you about it. So yeah, good times.
I'm a little bit flash right now that you have doing something with music equipment, whatever. So and then getting the turn into selling beer. Yeah, it's not the next thing to do.
But well, you want to go deep in the archives. I started out in sales, selling carpet from a manufacturer. So I would go in. Rub carpet samples with these carpet dealers and say, isn't that amazing? Like, and I knew that was not the carpet career for me. Yes.
But wait, there's more.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Teflon.
That's also a blue carpet.
Stainmaster.
Yeah, I guess then it's a little bit more emotional and or better for your feelings selling beer than a carpet.
Yes, 100%. I knew that was not a long, but it got me to California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we love carpet from that standpoint.
And beer, obviously.
Hey, we love beer. And I have 16-year-old daughters, so I need to stay in the alcohol-related industry to get me through these teenage years. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, well, you already told us how you got into the business. So, when exactly was your first contact with Wein Stefan?
I had never heard about Wein Stefan until I went to work for Total Beverage Solution, who had just picked up the brand probably 6 months prior.
Yeah.
So I think it instantly became, you know, Total Beverage Solution is a small importer, much bigger now, right? But at the time, I think Wein Stefan was 100,000 case brand in the U.S., but it instantly became their biggest brand. And so whatever, I was introduced to it when I started. I was like, never heard of it, never tried it, never saw it. Can't pronounce it. Don't know what you're talking about. Had my first one. I was like, I can sell that. That is delicious. So, yeah.
And how would you describe a U.S. customer or a U.S. person who never had a Wein Stefan beer before, what he or she could expect? Yeah.
So, you know, whatever, the U.S. customer is so varied, right? I mean, if you think about our country, it's just
huge.
330 million people plus all of our extras. But you have uber beer geeks to, you know, the majority of people that drink Bud Miller and Coors. And so if you talk about people that don't know our brand, the first thing they get hung up on is, you know, how do you say that monstrosity of a word? Like, what, you know, and they just choke over it for a short while.
Wheezy Steven.
Yeah, and then you tell them it's a Hefeweizen, and Hefeweizen, yeah, I love those, you know. And then you get into that, and then they try it, and it's just all the beers are awesome. You know what I mean? All the beers are nice, light, approachable, so you're not killing anybody with any crazy, overly hoppy thing or super sour, fruity thing. It's just something that everybody can enjoy.
Is that what you think? What the U.S. Weinstephan fans or customers of Weinstephan or beer in the United States appreciate the most? That it's so easy, approachable, yes. And that it's easygoing, but still, whatever, not changing actually, because that's we try to keep it that on that level. We top level, we have it. Or what do you think? Is it? But yeah, do people keep in being fan?
Because again, it's. So, man, I hate seeing it. But, like, it's you know that it's going to be amazing every time, right? You don't have to guess of what it is you're showing up for. And so you can rely on that. I call it a perfect landing beer, right? You sit down and you're looking at a beer menu, and these days it could be 100 different beers on a draft list. It could be 15, 30. But you know when you see it, it's like, ah, great. I can start there, and if I want to try other things, perfect. And if I don't, and I'm happy and I'm just having chit-chat with my friends like you two, then you just stick with that and you know that it's good. The thing that piques everybody's curiosity, so I've been selling this again for 15-plus years, it's the world's oldest brewery. Yeah. Like, just instant fascination. It's like, oh, I work for the world's oldest brewery. Like, what? How old's that? Almost 1,000 years. What? And then they freak out. And then it's like, you know, you have to wait for the jaw drop to come back up and then have the conversation about it. But it makes it fun and approachable to everybody. And then people want to try it, you know, even then whatever. You hear people, oh, I don't really like that Hefeweizen style. It's like, just try it, you know, just try it. Oh, you don't like that? We have our original lager. Try that. That's my baby. You know, that's my jam. So anyway, it's so much fun to sell.
So original is your favorite Weinstephan style?
That's my jam, yep.
Okay.
That's
a case of original in Tim's.
Yeah, and
fridge.
So my wife makes me always have the Pilsner, the Weinstephaner Pilsner in our house, and I always have to have our Weinstephaner original in our house. And whatever, we pretty much always have the half original and the Pilsner.
So you always have them at home?
Yes. Yes.
All right, so when you're at home and you're having Weinstephan beers, you know, your wife works for a craft brewery. In Southern California. So how does that work? Is that a topic of discussion at home? What beers to drink
there
now?
There is no infighting. she is sometimes my best salesperson because she loves Weinstephan as well, right? So when she's out selling her brand, a lot of times she's also, oh, you need a Hefeweizen? You have to have my husband's brand. It goes on and has sold in a lot of Hefeweizen handles for us, but whatever. She has a whole different aspect of beer. She has hoppy beers, she has barrel-aged beers, she has sour beers. It's the whole craft gamut, whereas we have, again, our clean.
And crazy fancy stuff in the cans.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. I mean, she has some crazy beers with a bunch of adjuncts in them that, you know, we cannot because of the
Reinheitsgebot.
Yeah, Reinheitsgebot, exactly. So whatever makes for a dynamic neighborhood.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess also a very interesting fridge at your home. Like, you know, classic beers like straight Pilsner, Fruity Hefe, whatever, maybe some Vitos or Corbinian. And then next to it, double hopped Imperial New England IPA infused with mangoes.
Yes, I might have brought that for you guys to try now that you say that. Maybe you were looking at one of the labels, because, yes.
Might be possible.
It could be very possible, yes. Some bourbon barrel aged, like a lot of just great.
But it sounds amazing.
So, yeah, there's some amazing beers.
So I should be better friend with you that I get invited?
You know
into
people.
To your fridge?
Yes, you do know people that have connections, yes.
Well, we do have we also had a new beer introduced to the United States this year. We had the Helles in cans and you know, the Hefeweizen in cans, but the Helles is an all new beer. So would you mind just telling our listeners a little bit about it? Like, is it successful? Did people say, nah, we don't want it? Or just tell us a little bit
about
it.
And especially tell us too, because we should have been there already for market visit, but COVID.
Yeah. COVID shut down. So, you know what? Hellas has been very well received. There's still confusion in the marketplace about Hellas and the difference between Hellas and the original lager, right? A lot of people think that we just canned our original.
Yeah.
So we still need to work on the importer side and even on the brand side of, you know, clearing that confusion. But everybody was super excited about it. The rollout has been amazing. Again, COVID issues and the challenge of getting product from overseas markets. So it slowly rolled in, let's say April until probably early August, with the last markets finally getting it. But reception everywhere has been amazing. I mean, if you think about it, again, the world's oldest brewery for the first time ever has beer in cans. Like, that's a holy moment. You know, that's like a, oh my God, kind of moment. And then throw in the fact that this is something that I can take anywhere. And, oh, by the way, it's crushable, right? So you cans crushable and just a nice, light, easy lager. It's just beautiful. Like, I mean, that beer is – it fits so much of the American market that is used to these lighter-style beers. Bud Miller Coors, light American lagers that people – pound, you know, they go out and buy their 25 packs or their 30 packs or 24 packs, whatever, and they want to sit around and have conversations and be idiots with their friends, and it's usually with that light type of beer, right? And now a lot of times it's the, like a light seltzer, just because of the drinkability, and this beer fits that perfectly.
Yeah. It is wonderful to hear, because, you know, basically the same, well, not can specific, of course, but we also just introduced the beer last year in Germany, so it is an all new beer, and you know, we had the same kind of success here, because people were just, they were overjoyed by having like this you know, extremely drinkable beer, and that's something that people were looking for.
It's so crushable, and then you think about in that 500 ml format, right? Whatever, you can still drink it at a nice, steady, even pace.
Exactly.
And if it's getting any bit warmer, it doesn't matter, because it's still light enough to where it's like, again, bottoms up.
Yeah. So but most of the times, it doesn't have the chance to get warm, because it's just, you know, it's gone.
That's true. That's true.
Hopefully. From my side, I definitely can say, no, it's not the same beer. It's an own beer. It's an own recipe developed over a year. Even Professor Natsis, the famous brewing professor here from Weinstephan, consulted us in developing the recipe. We have different hop profile, because we're using two new hop Hallertauer flavor hops for that lager that we haven't used before, especially the Hallertauer Select. And first time infusion mashing to get that lean and crisp, you know, palate and body. So that's the biggest difference also in taste to the original. So for all the listeners who were wondering about what it is, whatever. So it's definitely two different beers with two different philosophies of what to aim. And so best thing is try original, try Hellas, and make up your mind what fits best for you. But I think this was so important for us, and also for our CEO, the director of the brewery, Mr. Schredler, that he said that he don't want to cut out one style for a new modern interpretation of the style. He said, we live now in times where a brewery like ours can definitely hold two kind of Helles. The original, and the name states it perfectly, is some kind of original traditional recipe.
Yes.
And the all new Helles, the Helles is just a modern, milder, drinkable, a little bit easy, more going interpretation, but still Bavarian Helles style, but just maybe a 2020 edition of it. And I guess this makes it really cool, actually, for me, even picking up some beers when I want to go, maybe, you know, summer and to the lake, whatever, like my holiday when I'm going back to the lake, then I'm picking up the new Helles because it fits better there. And then when I'm having my barbecue at home, it fits better with the original, because this is a more correctful beer and then to barbecue it. There it's more at home.
Do you think the original, again, just based upon whatever, your own preferences, the original maybe a little better food beer?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Helles stands very well for its own because it's like this refreshing and, you know, crushing sure. it, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, like, you know, you know, going out there on the golf course, maybe, yeah. you know, having yeah. like having like the back nine in front of you and you're like, okay, now I have earned a beer. So there is the Helles perfect, you know, refreshing, yeah. but still, you know,
nine getting holes it left, there. Nine more beers.
Yeah. but when it comes food side, I would prefer the original because it has a little bit more correctful palate, it's a little bit more robust. Sure. So like to especially at some kind of barbecue, maybe a light right. salad or fish or seafood, there maybe the Helles would yeah. also fit pretty well. But I guess when it comes to barbecue or to a typical Bavarian Brotzeit, yeah, there I guess the original is a little bit more tone. But I guess everyone has to make up his mind for
and
its
I
own.
And I think we need to continue our experimentation and see.
I will totally say yes to that.
our brewmasters would say we need to stress test it.
Yeah. yeah, okay. I'm in.
Test it under heavy conditions.
Yeah. Okay.
battle test.
Yeah, so we learned about the differences of the original and the Helles, which are actually pretty severe. You know, it's not it's in the same style, but then again, it's not.
Yeah, it's two different.
So
beers.
Are they cousins or are they brothers?
They're cousins. They're cousins. Yeah, they're not brothers. They're yeah. cousins. Yeah, the original and the Fässbier are brother. The Fässbier is the bigger brother and the original is the smaller brother, and the Fässbier is the brother who is going like every day to the gym and, you know, is like working on the biceps, you know. And
before Helles, we make this too complicated.
Yeah, yeah. The Helles is the cousin. The Helles is definitely the cousin.
Really?
Yeah. Like but this is very, very good. This kind of try to explain it. This is good. I keep that.
I keep that in mind because yeah. if we move down the path any further, I think it gets too complicated for everybody.
No. And
I just want to stop you here. And
like the brother-in-law to yeah, no.
Like the brother's brother. It's the cousin. And
yeah. Okay. But more related is the Fässbier to the original more to the Fässbier when it comes to the making and to the character.
And speaking of Fässbier, I mean, Tim, you've had a lot of experiences here in Germany during Fässbier season.
Yes.
Yeah, we record this now.
Yeah,
we must say it
season.
As transparency for our listeners. It's end of August,
yeah.
right before the Hallertau hop harvest, where we're going tomorrow there. We're going to the hop fields and checking
yes.
some with you.
So excited.
It's late August, so yeah, not so that you're confused when we're bringing this
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Fässbier season is something that you've experienced a couple of times now here in Germany. Is there any experience that stood out to you, which was like, the most crazy, craziest thing you've had here in Germany, or something that just stuck with you?
How often have you been here? Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Just introduce your answer with how often have you been here.
So I've probably been to Oktoberfest with Weihenstephan three times, and then I've probably been to Freising Volkfest four times, maybe something like that.
So you've been quite a times here to brewery and...
Yeah.
You know your way around Fässbier.
Probably say it every other year type of average.
Whatever. Yeah. Showing up, saying hello.
Yes. Hello. Back again. Hello.
How's that Fässbier doing? Yeah.
So excited to see you. I would say my craziest story is probably my very first trip over, and I met a bunch of Germans. I went wandering around a tent, met a bunch of Germans that wanted to talk politics because I was an American. And, of course, they had to tell me how crazy George Bush was at the time.
Of course.
And I don't understand how you Americans are. And so then an hour and a half later, Oktoberfest ended, and I didn't know even where my table was with everybody. So then I wandered out on my own. I had left my backpack at the table, which had my plane ticket on my flight that I had to be on the next morning at 7 a.m. I got lost on my way back and then had to knock on my neighbor's hotel room door at 3:30 in the morning, who had actually been nice enough to take my backpack back. And Yeah.
So it seems like a pretty normal Volksfest story.
So standard. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, standard.
And then
yeah.
I just repeated that the next six times that I came over because I got that one out of the way.
Yeah. Learned. Learning curve zero.
Yeah. Yes.
Getting faced every time? Yes.
Yes. So do people ask you a lot about, you know, German beer tradition when you're out there selling?
Or German beer culture, or whatever.
Yeah. Or is it just like, you know, I just want to know what the beer tastes like and, you know, that's pretty much it?
Everybody's fascinated by the world's oldest brewery.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's, then again, it's just like, oh, they're still monks, you know, and like, what's going on? And like, is the brewing equipment like decrepit, you know, breaking down and like from how many hundreds of years ago? And, you know, they're fascinated with this historical side of like, oh my God, everything just must be so old and that yeah. is so cool. And I don't even know how you guys can brew modern beer because everything must be so old. And I have to kind of disappoint and say, no, you understand, like this is as modern as it gets. Like this is, you know, world-class top shelf equipment that they have to fit in this historical facility that's in the middle of a university. And so you have to build within, you can't build upon.
Or expand or whatever.
Yeah, you cannot expand, right? There's this historical premises that you cannot change. So anyway, but it becomes the fascination with the history, and then everybody wants to tell me their story. You know, the people that approach me are the ones that have a story with regards to Vine stuff, and again, it's the proverbial jaw drop with oh my god, the world's oldest.
Yeah. But so we can anyone recommend to come here to take a tour, book it online when it's again possible after COVID,
exactly.
But I guess it will hopefully
fingers
be soon,
crossed. Let's hope.
Yeah.
It's,
yes. But on the other side, I guess all of them are welcome to make up, because seeing is believing,
100%.
And this should also sit maybe here in the museum where we are now recording the podcast, and because this is the most historical part of it. Some of the bricks in the wall are like a few hundred years old, and then going through the production, which is like you said, modern and on the top notch of the technology, and then taste the beer in the Braustube, maybe sit in the beer garden afterwards, or have a small beer tasting here in the museum. Everyone is cordially invited, because that's an experience I can recommend to everyone, and I hope you too.
Yeah, and when you tell people, like I tell people all the time, if you fly into Munich to do Munich, right,
yeah.
or possibly Oktoberfest, or just see what Munich's all about, you're only 15 minutes from the brewery. You have to make that your first stop, right?
Because it's also so close to the airport.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. The first stop and must stop, or the last stop on the way out, or both.
Yeah. End of August or in September, when also they maybe have the time to maybe take a rental car or whatever, and go to the Hallertau and see that area, see that hop gardens. I guess as a beer fan, you need to see the Hallertau also once.
It's impressive,
especially now in August and September when the hops is there and it's green and it's full, and the whole region, when you're getting out of the car and walking there through.
Miles.
Smelling for hops, it's
miles and miles.
Yeah,
and
it's
miles,
it's so amazing, and I'm so looking forward to go out there with you tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so excited.
All right, so before you guys start jumping into hop fields,
just a little romantic trip to the countryside.
let's just move across the pond back to the States. And do you have, like, let's turn it the other way around. Do you have any recommendations for people visiting the U.S. like, when you say you're going back to Los Angeles, for example, what is a must that people need to see there?
Hollywood.
Is there a place where you can get our beer?
There are multiple places you can get our beer.
And actually, we maybe some states not that, but also nearly in every state you can get Wine Stefana. Is it true?
Yeah, pretty much so. And you know what, like, the bigger states, the more population, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more locations you can go and find our beer. Better beer bars, gastropubs. Like, we're not just in German-centric places. We've gone beyond that, thank goodness. But yeah, there's plenty of places, and I don't know if we can actually mention them.
Probably not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can, for all you out there, you can get our beer pretty much everywhere. Just you know, you have a product finder on the website where you can.
WineStefano.com. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, put in the zip code, and then you will find where you can get WineStefano products. That's right. I always forget about that part.
That's why.
Every time when I'm in the US, you know, there's Tim or one of our nice colleagues from TBS, and they pick me up at the airport. They drive me around, then I drink beer, then I talk to people, then I teach people or whatever.
That's right.
And then they bring me back to the airport, and it goes to the next city.
Yeah. And I'm
and so I never had the work to do, like searching for it.
And I'm just sitting here back home watching you on the map going from bar to bar. So thank you very much for that. Yeah. But
hey, you are our online marketing manager. I got it right now.
Oh!
And you encouraged me to do, you know, do some stories we can share. You know, we have some content online.
Somebody's got to do it. I want to relax. Yeah,
it's a tough job, but someone has to do it. I'm sorry.
So, Tim, last question. What can our US customers expect for 2022? Is there anything planned or anything special?
So cans, as I told you, rolled out around the US from basically April till August. So we're going to have a continuing focus on cans and making people aware that we have our beer in cans because it is new to the US market, right? So people have to trip over it or find it in their local markets. So that'll be a big push for us. Also, the NA, by the way, has been going very well for us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And just the category as a whole within the US, there are a lot of craft breweries that are focusing nothing but
non-alcoholic beers. By the way, for all the listeners who now maybe hear the first time our podcast or not have seen heard the episode, season one, first episode, also available in English and German. We're talking to the head scientist of Technical University Munich on non-alcoholic beers, Mrs. Martina Gastel. She is a PhD and also responsible for the whole science project on non-alcoholic beers, where the university is partnering also with the brewery. So if you're interested in NA beers, check season one, episode one with Dr. Martina Gastel.
And you still haven't told us a secret.
Yeah.
And there may be another one of our beers coming in cans next year.
All right, so I see we got a little Riddler among us here. So that's all right.
Maybe we should go na 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 hop man. What?
All right. So thank you everybody for listening. We'll leave it at that. And Tim, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for being part of this.
Very good to see you too.
And we hope
a pleasure to have you here.
We hope to see you back in the States in a couple of months. We'll be back in the States in a couple of months. So that's, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, but it's very true.
But thank you very much, and good luck and all the best to you in the States.
Really appreciate it.
And
thanks for all your work you're doing for our beloved brewery.
Please keep sending amazing beer.
Yeah, we will. We will. And, you know, we have our weekly meeting, so I guess we'll see each other next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.